Some of you have known me for almost 15 years now. Closer to. My wife has known me for more than that. We've been married for what? 32 years? 32 years, 4 years of courtship and all that. So you add that together because you cannot exclude that time. So we've known each other for?
36.
No, 32 plus what?
4.
Oh, is it? Yeah, 36. My apology. So for all those years, there's one thing I have mastered. I might have made errors somewhere here and there, but it's work in progress. I used to work for the railways, and whenever I'm off, I always wanted to take my children and my wife out. At this other time, I thought, well, I've got a new idea. Let's go fishing. So I bought a fishing line. Traditionally, where I grew up, we do these village type of fishing hooks, right? You just put a hook at the end of a fishing line. It's not long enough, but when I was now working, thinking I'm now one of the celebrities, I bought a fishing line with a reel. So that day I said to my wife and my, how many children do we have by then? I think we had three. Diana was not yet born. So we invited our friends, we went to a fishing, where we used to live, there are municipal dams around us. You are allowed to fish at certain times. After night time, you are not allowed because they say fish are vulnerable during the night. So we went fishing. During the day, we caught just small little carpenters, you know, the small fish, because they say fish have got their time of biting. So we remained by the dam. When it was around 5 o'clock, now with my new toy, I just started casting. I tell you, I didn't even wait for it to bite. Just casting. I could see the reel pulling back, so I pulled back. One big fish. I cast again. One big fish. I cast again. One big fish. And the day ended up joyfully. Because I had such a big catch. So that day, God knew about it. I didn't know about it. I was not a fisherman either, but I ended up being one. And I was astonished at the end of the day. So my theme today is astonishing transformation. Because by the end of the day, there was joy. I was transformed because of the catch of the fish. One important thing, when Jesus was on that seaside, he observed two boats that were left idle by the fishermen. They were washing their nets on the other hand. The sea is called Gennesaret or Galilee, as we all know it. Jesus was crowded by people, and he was trying to reach them with the message. So maybe somewhere right at the back, they couldn't see him. So he had an idea, so that everyone gets the point what he was trying to say. Listen to what Jesus does. He goes to the two abandoned boats. Right? Maybe one of us might ask, why did he go to that particular one? English is not my mother language, but there's an old English which says, each dog has got its day. Amen? So maybe that's why Jesus went in this boat. It was the day of transformation for this boat. Amen? So that boat had to be transformed on that day. Not two boats, but one. The crowd pulling of Jesus reminds me of one of his stories in John chapter 6. He was like a magnet. Wherever he goes to speak, a lot of people came to him to hear that message. So he jumps in this boat so that he could speak to people, so that they could hear him. But there's also one thing we need to know today. I've heard this message preached so many times. Not that I'm blaming the preachers who preached before this message to me. They never told me about this thing. It was about communicating. How good are you at communicating with other people when you tell them about what you have heard? The majority of us, by the time the story leaves where I am to where Tony is, there is sugar, salt, tomatoes, and spices where spices are not needed. When I have said, go home and sleep, Debbie, when you relay that message to Tony, it's go home and sleep, Gilson said. Not Tony, Gilson said, I must go home to sleep, I must catch the train, and then when I get to the train, my husband will come and pick me up. No, I said, go home and sleep. So Jesus is teaching us how to communicate, right? That's all what he is saying here. In verse 2, we hear that Jesus saw the water at the water edge, two boats that were left by the fishermen. We were washing their nets. Jesus decides to get in one of the boats. The Bible says he saw two boats and got in one of them. It is that particular boat that was transformed on that day. You remember the story of Moses? If you don't know the story of Moses, on that day, Moses, he saw a burning bush, right? Around that place of the burning bush, it was a transformed place. It was holy. If you know the story of Moses, it says, take off your shoes because you are standing on holy ground. So this boat was now transformed. It was a holy boat. Yesterday I was in Bournemouth, and because you have prepared your sermon, so when I was seeing these little boats and big boats sailing in the ocean, I was thinking of my message already. So, oh, okay, this is what I'm going to be speaking about tomorrow. But none of these boats are the holy boats that Jesus jumped on. But this morning, you are that holy boat that Jesus jumped on. Why? Because Jesus wanted that holy boat to be a pulpit so that that crowd, which was failing to hear his message, could get his message. Are you ready to be that pulpit? Are you ready to be that boat Jesus was using on that day so that others can hear the message? Jesus is teaching us to communicate so that other people can be transformed. Amen? But when you communicate, make sure you communicate the message as you heard it. Okay? According to one thing that I saw, the biggest transformation within this story is also about Simon. Why am I saying so? Because Simon was a great fisherman. This was his trade, right? And Jesus was a carpenter's son who had no clue whatsoever how people do about fishing. But he gets to the scene. The fisherman who was by trade experience, he caught nothing. The Bible tells us that. Here is the point when Simon is going to be transformed. Yes? I want you to look with me. There is a story in Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. There must be a Bible behind you. No internet Bibles. We want proper Bibles. Are we there? Chapter 2, Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there, thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home. He got up, took his mat and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. Amen. That's the word of the Lord. So even on that day, Simon was going to note, I've never seen so many fish like this. Why? Because it was his day of transformation. We look also at this story in the book of Mark. This man was paralyzed, maybe from birth, and he couldn't walk. And on that day, it was his day. We don't read of two paralyzed men being healed, but only one. You remember earlier on I said, each dog has got its day. So this paralyzed man, this was his day to be transformed. So this story of this man being healed, coupled up with Simon, is the goal of each and everyone's transformation. Why do we have to be transformed? That's my question. Why do we have to be transformed? Paul answers this question in a letter to the Corinthians. He says, we must be like Jesus. That is the goal of every Christian. Amen? Every Christian. If you don't want to imitate Jesus, then I don't know what type of a Christian you are. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18 says this, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. This is what we are aiming. This is why Simon saw this on that day. He was changed from an ordinary fisherman to a great fisherman. You will hear as the story comes to an end. We are increasingly working towards that goal to be like Jesus. We must be transformed. Isn't that great transformation? We all need to be transformed, especially if you want to see the kingdom of God. We need to be like Jesus. Also, in Colossians 3, verse 9, 10, Paul again, he brings it this way. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken your old self with its practices and have put on a new self which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of the Creator. This is what we are. When Jesus is in the boat, he is in charge. When Jesus is in the boat is changed. It's no longer an ordinary boat. So when Jesus comes in you, you are a new person who doesn't tell fibs. Get me right? Yeah? You no longer tell fibs because Jesus lives in you. You are transformed. You are a changed person. In verse 3, we want to see the skills of communication. Jesus says to Simon, put the boat a little from shore. And again in verse 4, he repeats his communication skills and asks Simon to put into deeper water and let down the nets for a catch. Today, Jesus is asking you, live the life that you are living now. Push your net into deeper water for a catch. This carpenter's son, who has never been a fisherman before. Yes, if it was making some items of made of wood, we could understand. But here, he instructs a seasoned fisherman how to fish. You might have been a Christian for a long time, but today this message could be for you. Push your net into deeper water to catch more fish. Simon could have grumbled on that night, on that morning. Maybe if it was in today's language, he could have used some of these languages that I can't repeat in front of you. Yesterday I was looking at the newspaper and there was a headline which says, Phil dropped a F-bomb. Did you see that? Anyone who saw a newspaper yesterday? Phil dropped an F-bomb. It was Prince Philip, when they were waiting for fly past, he let loose his tongue. Because he was bored by waiting for a long time, I think. So he said it. Maybe Simon said the same thing on that morning. Jesus, you're telling me to go back in the water. I've been fishing all night. I caught nothing. And you're not a fisherman. I'm a fisherman. You're a carpenter's son. I'm only suggesting. I don't mean it's not written anyway. But I'm only suggesting. Because in this scenario, imagine a novice telling someone who is experienced in his stuff. The experienced person will tell you, please go and sleep. You know nothing. But Simon, because maybe Jesus' communication skills attracted him to do what he did. The most important thing is we are learning to communicate. This is what the Lord is speaking through this text to us. We are learning how to be transformed. We are learning how to communicate. Nicely, put your net into the deeper waters for a catch. Not an ordinary catch. This is the message that is coming to you. Yes, you could have been telling other people about the message of Jesus Christ, but maybe there was something that you were doing wrong. Your communication skills need to improve. When you tell people about Jesus Christ, don't force it to them now. Your style of life is sending a message to them. When last did you visit your next door, not two houses away from you, the one immediately after your house? When last did you visit them or invite them to come to your house? I don't want your answers, but it's difficult today. Do we say life has changed? Then how do we spread this message of Jesus if we say life has changed? We should remain to the ethos of Jesus Christ. We had skills of communicating. How then are we going to attract others whom we don't know when I can hardly speak to my neighbor? So that's why Jesus was teaching here the communication skills. For people to be transformed, we need to have good communication skills. Don't force it on them. But the way you live, the way you act, whatever you do, the way you speak, the way you smile, the way you talk to them, tells a message. If your neighbor is greeting you, "Oh, morning, Gilson." "Morning." Surely they say, "Is that a Jesus person?" Already you have destroyed what you are trying to send to them. Let alone if you go to preach to them. Say, "Oh, him, how can he preach to me? He can hardly smile." So communication is very important. Out of communication, when Simon had picked that, there's another thing also that was in Simon that he didn't know. It could be in you as well this morning. But listen, I want to draw this attention to you on verse 5. Let's go to verse 5 together. If your Bible is still in front of you, Luke chapter 5, verse 5. He says, Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you have said so, I will let down the nets." Because you have said so, I will lay down the nets. Can you pick the opposition on there? The opposition is not from outside. The opposition always comes from inside. Amen. Have you seen some? When you have trained for a job, you are ready for promotion. There's always that inferiority complex from inside. It's not the outside that blame you first. You blame yourself. "Oh, can I really do this?" Already, you are shooting yourself into in the leg. Have confidence in yourself. If you have trained for something, you've had that degree, say now, "I can do it." End of story. Amen. Yes, because the first thing, the self-destruction comes from inside you. Say, "Oh, really? Is this me who's going to do this?" Yes, it's you. So here we have Simon, a seasoned fisherman. The Lord is telling him to cast his net into the water. You remember Simon in chapter 4? His mother-in-law was healed by Jesus Christ. She was lying down with fever, and Jesus Christ just spoke, and that fever went away. Wasn't this the opportunity for Simon to say, "I knew this block. He knows his stuff. I'm going to listen to him." But he doesn't do that. So Jesus is teaching us that opposition comes from within, not from outside. The story that we read in Mark as well earlier on, it tells us of the opposition from inside, not from outside. Because the teachers of the law were inside when that man was laid through the roof. And what did they say? "What is this man saying? It's blaspheming. Can anyone forgive sins?" It's from inside, not from outside. And Jesus also said, he knew what they were thinking in their hearts. So opposition is always coming from inside. So get rid of the opposition that is in you. That is the point I want to make this morning. But do we have any reasons to be motivated? Yes, if we want to be like Christ, we need to be motivated so that we can be transformed. Once we've been transformed, then we get rid of the opposition that is in us. Amen? That's our destination. We need to be transformed. We need to be motivated. We need to get rid of the opposition within ourselves. And then we can say, we can do it. End of story. I remember Fred, the other day, he came into my office and he saw this placard on the window which says, I can do it. End of story. It's you who has got to do that. Get rid of the opposition that is in you before you get rid of the opposition that we're going to bring to you. So Jesus wanted that on Simon because he knew what was coming up front, what Simon was going to do in the end. But listen, this guy doesn't learn, same like the Israelites, same like us. What does it when the net is lowered in the water, there is a lot of fish caught, right? And the boats are starting to sink. What does Simon do? He calls his friends on the other side with the other boats to come and help. Oh, come on, man. Come on. You are with the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And you call your fellow citizens of this earth. Instead of calling the maker to say, maker, if we sink, it's just your problem, not mine. But what does he do? He calls his friends. We all do that. When we are in trouble, when we are, everything is going nice, we don't think about God. When now we are in trouble, oh, where is God when this is happening? We all do it. But the psalmists say, where does my help come from? Psalm 121. My help comes from the Lord, who is creator of heaven and earth. So Simon and his friends around there, why did they think that? No, he is our maker. He's going to help us. But also learn one thing. When God has blessed you, bless others. Yes, we might blame Simon that he was calling other people the other side. That was his mistake. But what I want you to learn today is, if God has blessed you, bless others. There was nothing wrong in calling those other guys because they had not caught anything during the night. Here is a big catch they shared. So I want to correct Simon that call others to be blessed, not to come and help you. Only God helps men. Amen. Amen. As we carry on, the last thing that Simon did was confession. Paul writes in Romans 3 verse 23 that we all have sinned and fallen short the glory of God. Am I right? This morning as you are sitting down there listening to this service, how many minds do you have? Do you have one mind which is seated right here, or the other mind is wandering? After this service, I'm going to my shift, or I've got a certain shift coming tomorrow. This morning, we are here to worship, not to split your mind into two. Concentrate your mind into here. So confession starts everywhere, ladies and gentlemen. If you didn't know, splitting your mind whilst in a sermon like this, you're actually sinning. Yes? So we need to confess, not to me, but to God. Father, forgive me for what I have done. Instead of listening to your message, I was thinking of something else. In verse 8, Simon kneels on his knees and says, I am a sinner. Paul has just told us that we have all fallen short of the glory of God. We all have sinned. So we need to confess our sins. Transformation, communication, motivation, getting rid of opposition, now it's time for confirmation, confessing. We all need to confess our sins. After Simon saw what catch he caught, he actually confessed his sin, that I am a sinner, forgive me. But the last few verses of that text lead us to the pinnacle of this story. There's a Greek word that I discovered. It says, zogron. That means catch alive. We are now going to the pinnacle of the transformation of Simon. He has been catching fish to kill them, to eat. But now he's going to catch men for life. Come, and Zagron, come and catch men alive. Because once you have preached someone to someone about Jesus, their internal life is secure. But hold on a minute. If they have accepted Jesus as their savior, I want to bring this to you. They must be baptized. Amen. I remember there is a text when Jesus, not the one coming out of the sea, at his baptism, but it was immediately after his transformation. There was a voice from heaven. This is my son. Listen to him. Am I right? This is my son. Listen to him. So when we tell others about Jesus Christ, when we tell them about the good news, don't leave the baptism bit. Jesus Christ himself was baptized. And it also says in Matthew 28, go and make disciples and tell them and teach them about everything that I have taught you. Hasn't Jesus taught us about baptism? When you have accepted Jesus as your savior, you need to complete your story. The moment you enter, whether it's airport or roads in England, you are entering a communication zone. Whether you like it or not. If you have been driving on the motorways yesterday or today or tomorrow, the moment you enter the motorway, you are in the system. Someone might say, why is this guy saying this? Wherever you go, there's a camera. Did you know that? When you land at the airport, you're already in the system. Whether you like it or not. So the same applies here also. When you accept Jesus Christ as your savior, you are in the system. Amen? So if you accept him, why leave baptism out? Transformation. You are not yet a complete product. You need to accept Jesus Christ as your savior and be baptized. Amen? Because God himself said, listen to him. He is my son. Jesus says so. So this transformation is astonishing. It's not only about catching fish, but catching men alive. Zogron. It says so in Greek. When you confess, you are entering the safe zone. When you confess, you are entering the safe zone. You don't leave anything. I said earlier on, when I give you a message, when it gets to point Z, it should still remain with its contents. No additions. God has said, this is my son. Listen to him. Right? He has shown a miracle to Simon of catching fish. And Simon knelt down and confessed his sins because of what he saw. Simon got rid of opposition within himself. Simon was transformed on that day because of what he saw. Simon learned to communicate because of how Jesus was doing it on that day. This day, which started with people crowding around Jesus to hear the good word. In other words, the word that Jesus was talking about, the kingdom of heaven, you've got some steps that you need to take before you are transformed. You've got to learn how to communicate. You've got to learn to get rid of opposition within yourself. You've got to learn to confess your sins. Then you will be transformed. Please, for you to be transformed, remove the opposition that is within. Simon removed that opposition that was from within. And in the end, he was told in Greek word, Zogron. What about you? Be like Simon. He allowed Jesus to enter his boat. Allow Jesus to enter your life this morning. Doesn't Revelation 3 verse 20 say, look, I am standing at the door, knocking. If you open your door and I come in, I'll sit down and dine with you. Isn't that a great message? Simon, who later on is called Peter, had this astonishing transformation. You too can be transformed. Go tell others to get rid of the opposition which is from inside, so that they can be transformed, so that they can learn how to communicate, so that they can obey what God has said. This is my son. Listen to him. Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you because you are a great God. Thank you for speaking to us this morning. In my message, as I was speaking, I said, each dog has got its day. There is that dog this morning, which this message is meant for that dog. There is that boat. Two boats were left on the edge of the sea, but one boat was chosen by our Lord. Are you that boat this morning that has been chosen by the Lord? Luke writes to say, this is my son. Listen to him. Are you going to listen to what Jesus has said? Come, I'll make you fishers of men. Are you one of those people that are fished by this message this morning? I beg you to listen to Jesus' message. Father, as we pray, we want to pray for our communities. Maybe the way we have lived, they are astonished that they cannot be transformed because it doesn't reflect the true Jesus in us. Because Jesus has entered into us, we need to reflect the image of Jesus. Father, we pray for those who have known us differently. Let them know a different person today who has been transformed. Let them see that there is Jesus who lives in me. And they will come and inquire about this Jesus who gives life. About this Jesus who wants us to be fishers of men. How many men are we going to fish after this message, Father? Thank you, Lord, for you are a loving God. Receive our closing hymn as we sing for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.